This is the Podcast Inc. production. Booyah!
And now, this is the moment podcasting fans listening around the world have been waiting for. Coming to you, not so live, from a listening device of your choice, it's time! Podcasting out of this corner, a mixed martial talker, holding no professional record, he stands at 6 feet 1 1/2 inches tall, weighing in at whatever he feels like, hailing out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, presenting the sometimes angry, always funny, self-proclaimed podcasting champion of the world, Steve Fingerstyles.
So, welcome to another rendition of the podcast. I am here once again, always again, and joined by my two co-hosts from jolly old England, the Dynamite Kid, Jesse Benz, and Maxi Boy Curtin, my British Bulldogs.
Ah, that's lovely. I am well up for... Dynamite Kid was like the absolute dickhead of the duo, wasn't he? So I'm happy to be that. And he was littler, so this is good. We are like, yeah, this works. We are the British Bulldogs of podcasting, Max.
I would just need to get you a shotgun, break some legs, wheelchair.
Yeah, I outlived you as well, which is important to remember.
Oh, that's not nice. So what does that make me?
A lot of crack cocaine.
Does that make me Matilda, the dog?
You are, yes, you're Matilda the Bulldog. That's perfect.
Right? Did they have... No, Jimmy Hart managed him at one point, didn't they? Or didn't he? I think so, right?
I don't know. I mean, they were associated with the Harts, but not that Hart. So maybe you're getting your Harts mixed up.
No, because I remember they had a feud, and then if I'm not someone must have been their manager at one point. Or am I thinking of just a few?
Well, neither of them were talkers, were they?
So yeah, who knows? Anyways, that's going way back, way back. But we are here again. We're going to talk WrestleMania, of course, as the new era begins from the intro, new intro package, everything going on. But before we get to the fun stuff, my friends, how have you been since the last time we talked? Which is actually weird because we have an episode that hasn't aired yet that we did a few weeks ago. So this is our second time talking in a few, but for the listeners, not really. Which, yeah, so stay tuned. Seinfeld episode 2 will be coming out soon. So
yeah, our narrative and storyline is totally fucked.
It's all over the place now.
We're all over the place, yeah. We don't have any consecutiveness. That's definitely not the word I'm looking for going on. But yeah, all good, thank you. I can't remember what we talked about the Seinfeld one, so we might be treading old ground again, but... life is good. I just spent the weekend with Max, actually, in London. Only got back the other day.
Okay, hold up. You spent it physically?
Of course.
Okay.
Like, you know, perfect. I have to earn my keep, you know. I can't, like, pay, so you just have to bend over, bite the pillow, and think of England.
Do you know how expensive to rent in London?
Like, exactly.
People don't stay for free around here.
Hey, not in Chiswick. I've been there. I know, my friend. I know how it is to live in London. It's crazy.
If you can't pay with money, you pay with your gritty little bunkroom, and that's just the way it is.
Jesse never offers money.
Your quivering rabbit knocks on hole first.
Oh my god! So what was the big occasion?
Winking at you.
What was the big occasion of you guys hooking up? Was it anything special?
I was playing a gig in Camden, in London, so I played that Saturday night, which worked out beautifully, because then I could play that, which went very well, then have lots of drinks in Camden, which is one of my favourite places. Me and Max met up before the gig, and we went to a record shop and spent way too much money, which was awesome, but it's worth it for the endorphins, because, like, where else are you going to get them nowadays? And
drugs.
Then... not at this age. It's a risk, you know.
That's true. Your heart. You're right.
Yeah.
All disappointed.
I went back to Max's and we watched Night One of Mania together, which was
even better.
We watched it live together, so it's not often.
Oh, so you guys were you guys the guys in the background that they were like, oh, look at England, it's like 1 a.m. there.
They did keep cutting to that, didn't they? Yeah, no, we were just sitting in Max's. Living room, like
that's hilarious,
staring at the telly. But do you know where that pub was, Max, that they kept cutting to at WrestleMania?
It's either going to be the Wembley Box Parks, they host events, or there's the Sports Bar and Grill in Shoreditch where they also do events. Mm. So it's going to be one of those two.
Nice, yeah. Not near where we... Well, near-ish where we were, I suppose, like, relatively speaking.
Yeah. But I don't want to hang around with a bunch of wrestling fans.
Wrestling fans are the worst.
You hear that, losers?
Yeah, you stinky neckbeard.
I don't think I have your diehard wrestling fans, because by the time this comes out, I told Jess even before we started recording, every Tom, Dick, and Harold has already put out their version and their reviews. This is more of a conversation of what we like, because we are fans ourselves. So, and we've been long life fans too, like ever since we could remember, right? So it's just our point of view as not professionals, but long life fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We just love it for what it is. And I think this is the first WrestleMania that we've ever covered that I've really enjoyed.
Good to know.
Right? So I feel like it's been lulls. Like this WrestleMania certainly... the main events and things like that made me feel like a kid again, which I think the last time I felt like a kid watching wrestling was probably WrestleMania 31 Seth Rollins cashed in. Yeah. Like that was like, fuck.
That was huge.
Made me feel good. Yeah. That, like the shock of that. And we were together for that, weren't we, Max, watching that live? And we were just like, that show finished and we were just so amped, do you know what I mean? It's like 5 a.m. and we're like, fuck, just go to sleep after that. Like, adrenaline is like so high. So we had like a big wrestle on my bed. It's not weird.
That's not weird.
And there were women there, which I want to just point out just for prosperity.
We had a big wrestle on the bed and Cromie was there. And Cromie just walked in and took his shoe off and threw it as hard as he could at my head. So he brought a foreign object in, which really fucking hurt, actually. I'll never forget that. But he was participating and I love him for it.
That's awesome. Shout out to Cromie. Yes. Good fella. Good fella, that man. Yeah. All right. You mentioned it, Camden. You performed in Camden. Was it the place you tried to take us to, Max, but it was closed at one time? Remember when we were there and you're like, Jesse's played here before?
Yeah, Dublin Castle. It was...
So I saw where Dublin you performed, my friend.
Okay. Yeah. So I performed... There's a venue next door to Dublin Castle. That's where I played.
Okay.
But we certainly had drinks in Dublin Castle beforehand. And the first gig I ever played in London was in Dublin Castle.
Oh, so even better.
Good place in my heart, yeah.
So I took them. I took Steve and Jack on this lovely tour of London, like all of the historic sites, and one of them was Jesse's first ever gig in London.
Beautiful.
And it was closed.
It is. I'm livid there's not a plaque, to be honest, outside that place, sort of documenting that.
I know, fucking madness. What have they done?
I know.
What about you, Max? Anything new and exciting in your life? Or are you still the mystery man?
Nothing I can... really report on, but life is ticking along nicely, and yeah, I'm all happy. Everything is all good, my friend. How about yourself and your travels?
Oh, actually, it was pretty good. Yeah, we just came back from vacation ourselves. We were in the Caribbean and the island of Antigua, and it was fantastic. Again, can't complain. The flight there, we thought we were going to die because a lot of turbulence, 2 hours straight, but after we landed, it was all smooth sailing, as they say. And yeah, one of the best places, one of the best islands I've been to. Me and the wife have been to pretty much all the islands at this point, except for a couple. And it ranks up there as my top three for sure. Nice. I would highly recommend it.
Okay, I'll get on it. Well, next month, but end of next month, I will be in your fair lands of Canada.
So you are making the check.
I will be in Calgary.
Oh, Calgary. Yeah. Is it the Stampede at that time? Is that what's going on?
No, it's Stampede's July.
Okay.
I don't want to be around people.
Fair.
Quietness.
And that is a good place to go to if you don't want to be around people. Even though it is a fairly one of the biggest cities in Canada, it's still not highly populated compared to like your big cities and your other metropolises out there in the world. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's gonna be an adventure.
No, good for you, my friend.
I went to Vegas. That's where I did last time before we spoke.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. And how was Vegas, that? How were the hookers? Show. And how was the strippers and the betting and all that?
There's a lot of tits about. There is a right? lot of free tits just, like, milling about. I thought of Jesse a lot when I was there.
I was very jealous. And
that's your town, Jesse, for sure.
Yeah, oh, man, I would have just, I would have been walking around.
Jesse would have died. So, like, I was there for 6 days. I had to do work, obviously, but I tried to experience as much as Vegas as I could. Okay. And that was me being very tame. Wow. If we had let Jesse loose on that city, Godzilla would have... He would have been Godzilla, just tearing it apart. You would have been dead within day two.
Just a horny, drug-addled Godzilla.
No, I don't think so. He would survive because you'd want more, because it would be the time of his life. So he'd find a way to keep popping up. He would near fall, kick out after kick out. That's what he would do.
This is true. I went to highlight of the trip was I got to go to the punk rock museum, something I've never thought I'd be able to do before, opened by one of our favorite bands, NOFX. So it was like a pilgrimage mission for me to go there.
Awesome.
And it was in the druggiest, sketchiest neighborhood I've ever been in my life. It was great.
Okay.
And there was the punk rock museum, and right next to it was the biggest strip joint I've ever seen in my life. It just went on. It was like a mile long strip club. Their main advertisement was midget wrestling.
Oh.
And the tagline Jesse's of this dying. Place was thousands of beautiful women and three ugly ones.
Jesse, look what and you I missed out on, like, my friend.
I mean, you go for the ugly ones, don't you? Because, like, what they lack in attractiveness, they make up for in enthusiasm, in my experience. And
they want you to come back, so they try harder.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the genius of that employment model? Because there's 1,000 free women working there, right? Let's just play that game.
Okay.
But they don't tell them which ones are the ugly ones, so they keep that self-doubt going.
Yeah, nice.
Across all of them.
It's a good point.
Not dissimilar to wrestling in many ways. They always sort of keep wrestlers in the dark, don't they, backstage, and sort of you don't always know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Vegas is a crazy place. It's been a while now since I've been to... I don't remember if I went for my 30th or my 35th. So it's either been 10 or 15 years.
It was that good.
Well, no, again, it was me and Jackie, we went. And then, so we get there. And again, I went so long ago, weed wasn't even legal there yet. So I needed my hookup because everywhere I go, I got to smoke weed, obviously. So we get there and we had a driver. So we get off the plane and there's someone there with my name. I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, surprise. I'm like, surprise? I'm like, do you not know me? I'm like the most low-key person. But then she explains, she's like, no, but he's the driver. He could probably get you stuff. I'm like, ah, good point. So then after he ended up giving us a number for a hookup. So I get the hookup. I grab some weed. And then he texts me later. He's like, oh, how was the weed? And then I'm like, it was good. Yeah, no problem. If I need more, I'll hit you up. But I think this will do. And then he drops this on me. If these guys are ever looking for a good time and want to swing, hit me up.
Nice. Was he a good-looking lad?
Right now, I don't remember, honestly. I couldn't even tell you what he looked like. So, obviously, he couldn't be that ugly, because if he was that ugly, he was probably a normal-looking dude. Because if he was either ugly or very handsome, I would probably remember him, right? He would stand out. So, I would
say... Was he wearing, like, a driver's hat?
No, I think he was just wearing sunglasses, and he had, like, regular, like, you know, just the hairdo, the spiked-up, you know, buzz cut sort of thing, right? So...
I was going to say, if I swung with him, I'd make him leave that hat on.
But that's what I'm saying. It's your sort of town, brother. You would, like I said, you would have such a great time. Such a great time there.
This was the first place I've ever been to where, like, weed is legal. And
oh, really?
I left Canada after it was...
Yeah, but you haven't been to Amsterdam at all, and you're so close?
Well, yeah, but Amsterdam, I don't really count because it's just like, I don't know. Amsterdam just always existed.
I get you.
Feels weird. So like one of the girls came from the States and she was like, oh, I want to go get something. So we walk for ages and it's so weird going into this place that is basically a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Like a fully functioning place. Everyone's in their little shirts. Yeah. And they're like, how can I help you today, sir? Yeah. I would like some drug. And they have to take you to the drug. And there's all these little glass cases where it's laid out and this, and then they're at the counter,
the menu.
And they're ringing you up, and they're helping you, and they're doing, like, can you leave us a satisfaction survey? I'm like, no, because this is all illegal, and I don't want to get back to me.
Oh, my God.
Very weird concept. Very weird, that's but hilarious. Very cool.
But it's funny though, last thing before we get on to wrestling, because we're going to eat up the whole show just shit talking here. It's funny because the UK is one of the leading exporters of medicinal marijuana in the world, but yet it's not legal there. How fucked up is that? So you guys are allowed to grow it, but you're not allowed to indulge in it. Why not? Like, you know how much more money your government would make? What the fuck?
I know, stupid. It won't be long. It'll be a few years, I reckon, and then it'll start to... We're going to... The next election in England, we're going to... It's very likely that not going to be under a Conservative government anymore. So we'll be under a Labour government who, like, sort of... So Democrats instead of Republic, you know. So it's going to start moving in the right direction for that sort of thing, I think.
Oh, there you go.
They got a lot of other shit to fix first. So, well, yeah.
Exactly. Well, speaking of moving in the right direction, please move over to our sponsors and check them out, because if it helps them, it helps me. So please visit firstrow.ca. That is First Row Collectibles. Use promo code ThePodcast20 to receive 20% off. They got a ton of stuff from the wrestling world, sports memorabilia, old video games, old comic books, you name it, they got it. Best thing is they ship worldwide. Even better, they update daily. So please visit them at firstrow.ca. And if into video games and books, please visit bossfightbooks.com for great books on classic video games. You'll find titles like NBA Jam, Red Dead Redemption, Resident Evil, and so many others. Everything you see on their website is available in paperback and ebook format. So please check them out at bossfightbooks.com. And if you want to support me directly, you can visit my merchandise store at tpublic.com or scroll down on today's device. It's embedded right there in the description. Click on that link, takes you right to the merchandise store. I got everything from hoodies to travel mugs, phone cases, anything you need or want, it is there. But the easiest thing, the best thing, the freest thing to do to support the show is rate, subscribe, review on all major platforms, most specifically Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. All right, gentlemen, the main event, what everyone's been what happened?
Chris Jericho will be proud of that transition into sponsorship.
I am the transition king. I'm going for that title. Fuck Jericho. I'm going for that title. At least mine aren't piped in. Mine are live. I do live shit. This is not old school Raw. This is Nitro, baby.
Well, dude, you call it on the fly, brother. I call
it in the ring.
We've been doing this show for years now, and every time you list your sponsors, I'm always like, that sounds horrible. That's the sort of shit I'm into. Like, I should check that out.
But you've never checked them out, have you?
Never looked once. the second the show finishes, I just forget and move on. But I will. Like, I promise you, I will actually check out your sponsors and maybe even buy something, because it sounds like my kind of shit. And I've got a promo code, like, on my doorstep, right? So I need to use that.
There you go.
Oh, what's the promo code, just like...
I can listen back.
It's in the description. Check it out on the description when the episode is.
There you go. Nice. For everyone listening, Steve literally pointed down when he said it's in the description.
It's in the description.
Look under the desk.
All right, gentlemen. WrestleMania. Everyone's been talking about it by now. Everyone's loving this thing, saying it's the best one of not just recent times, of all time. I don't know if I'll go that far, maybe because nostalgically I'm more inclined to like WrestleMania, like, for example, what was it, 18? No, 18 was one of my favorites because I was there live.
Canada one. Yeah.
So that's a little bit different for me. And again, it's different. Tea, coffee, whatever you like. It's all good in the end, right? But let's start with night one quickly before we get to night two, because I think night two is the bread and butter of this, which rightfully so, because in the past, I think the last two, night one has been better, if I'm not mistaken. But now they actually did it right. So right off the bat, let's talk about, like, I guess our three favorite type of matches that we had on here. Let's start with the Ladder War. That was fun. That wasn't too bad. It wasn't the greatest ladder match, but I think it did its job, and it was a great way to split up the titles.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good way to split up the titles. There were so many people in that match, though. I mean, I saw them all start. I was like, this is dangerous.
I think that's the problem. I think it should have been four teams max.
Yeah, that would have been great. As you say, best way to kind of split up, you give A-Town Down Under, fucking assholes, a great little moment, get that out of the way early. Felt a bit quick when they pulled it down. Everyone was a bit like, oh.
Everyone's lost, right? Everyone's like, does it keep going? Are they leaving or do they continue? Like, I think people were confused because they never mentioned both titles were going to be separated, right?
Yeah, they didn't explain. You just had to get the titles down. They just kept saying you had to get both down. I thought Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, Birmingham Boys, put in a great showing.
As always, they are great. They are great, yeah.
local lads, putting a great show. And good old, what's this place?
R-Truth. Got his flowers. Got his flowers at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's nice. His
flowers. Yeah.
Finally.
And, yeah, and well, flower, I mean, like, tag team belt. It's sad that, like, tag team belts are viewed as flowers for him, whereas, like, for anyone else, it would be a big
well,
title.
Well, in all defense, though, what can they honestly do? You can't give him the world title, obviously, at this point. You got to build up to that, right? Because now the way they're telling their stories, totally different versus the old WWE days. But you could have given him, like, a U.S. run, because, you know, now the IC title's propped up a bit, too. So why not, like, throw him into that U.S. match, right?
Fuck me, if Logan Paul could be U.S. champion, fucking anyone could be U.S. champion.
He got anybody. It in. He got it in.
A body of water. A dead body. Like, anybody.
You mean prime hydration could be...
Oh, my God. Well, how about your favorite?
Quickly polled a room about that prime logo.
What, on the ring, you mean?
Yeah.
I didn't care either way. It didn't affect anything in my life. Like, I noticed it at first, but then after, it just blended in like everything else.
Yeah, I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would. It was I did see on, like, someone mentioned that, like, New Japan have had sponsors on their ring forever, right?
Yeah, but you're used to that.
We're used to that, and it's okay because we can't read Japanese. So to us, we don't know the brands, you know? So it just looks like just... cool, fair. Extra design, do you know what I mean? But because we know what Prime is, that takes something away from it for me. But it's just, yeah, it's just pattern. And it did blend in very quickly. I have to say, I didn't notice it anywhere near as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, it was, why? Did it really bother you that much, Max? Did you have to turn it off and, like, I'm not watching it no more?
No, just call me. I was just curious. I was hoping to get a rise out of Jesse there, but it didn't work, so I'm just going to move on.
Nice try. Okay, well, speaking of moving on, how about DIY? Two of your favorite guys from the old NXT days. What did you think about their showing here? And them coming out as DX, speaking of R-Truth, claiming that they are DX now.
Holy shit. Ciampa looks so much like a little mini doll of Triple H.
Right?
Like, an exact version of Triple H.
It's funny.
I mean, Gargano definitely brought back old NXT Gargano with that DDT out to the table.
That was
outside.
A nice spot. That was good.
My butthole clenched hard when he did the first, like, jump over and held it perfectly. But yeah, they did a great job, and it was so cool to see them. The DX thing, normally they're a little bit more subtle in their tributes.
Like exactly.
When Gargano does, like, the Marvel stuff, it's
yeah,
more
exactly.
subtle. This was a bit on the nose.
It was, right? And I hope they just roll with this moving forward, and they actually have a feud now with, I guess, the Awesome Truth, and keep this rolling, because I think they work well with each, all four of those. Like, even The Miz. Again, I've always loved The Miz. Like, I think he's always been fantastic. As soon as he started, like, being The Miz that he is, not the old school Miz when he first showed up as the reality star, when he turned into the actual Miz, that's when I started loving him. And I'm like, this guy is one of, like, the best. I'll put him up to top 10 heels of all time, even. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just want to fucking wring his neck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like go-away heat, as they call it. It's, like, just, he does it so well, right? So, but I never thought I would like to see him in, like, a comedic role, and he's actually not too bad.
No, he's great, and he's obviously he's got a comedic genius to bounce off of as well. So,
of course,
keep it with truth.
All right, gentlemen, on to the next match. Not really else much to talk about. That we got two new champs, and did you think when the Judgment Day didn't retain? Did you think in your mind that eventually, again, spoiler alert, obviously, that Priest was going to cash in at this point?
Yeah, I think it had to make kind of sense.
See, I totally forgot about it. It didn't even cross my mind once.
Yeah. I guess they were smart that they didn't show... He didn't come out with the briefcase, did he?
I don't think so. Or he came out... they had an entrance, but I don't know if he did. Oh, no, he had that dual's mask.
He had the mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
It didn't cross my mind that he was going to cash in at all, because at the time, I thought that Drew was going to win the title because obviously they're setting up a Drew Punk feud, and like, okay, so it's going to be Drew Punk for the title and all that. And obviously in the main event, the Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes main event, like, imagine if Damian Priest had cast in on that after all of that. Like, oh man, that would have sucked. So, like, I sort of thought, no, there's no, like, it doesn't feel right now for Damian Priest to cash in. It doesn't make sense with either title. But having said that, I still loved it when it happened. I thought they did a great job. Not jumping ahead, but I think it worked.
No, it did work well. Speaking of the other title that's high regarded in WWE, the IC title, this was a great match, I think. Perfect positioning, too. I think this was great being under the main event, too. Why not? Because obviously the main event we'll talk about, it was fantastic as well. And the whole, it's so fitted. I obviously did this on purpose, being in Philly, the whole Rocky versus type of Drago storyline. And then you have Gable being Apollo. Like, you know what I mean? It was perfect. Like, if you're a Rocky fan, to get into it. And we all knew, again, it had to be Sammy winning, because how many times were you going to pull the rug and tell people were going to be like, hey. And again, under this new regime, you know, eventually the story is, if you keep like going forth and forward, you're going to eventually get the title. You know what I mean? So, but is this good enough? Because we all thought he was going to be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that. And maybe he would have been if the Cody stuff wasn't happening at the time, you know. But, so, I mean, I've always been a huge Sammy guy. Love him to pieces.
Of course.
I hate to say it, I don't think he'll ever be a world champion. And I don't mind that. I think he has found his niche, he's found his slot, and he's going to elevate the Intercontinental. I mean, fucking Gunther did an incredible job of elevating that title anyway, but Sammy's going to continue to elevate that mid-card title and stuff, and just do just always be remembered as an absolute workhorse, you know, and there's no shame in that whatsoever.
No, exactly. Yeah, he might actually, I hate to say it too, just like you, he might go down as the greatest wrestler of all time to never win the world title.
Yeah, totally. Dusty Rhodes never won it, for fuck's sake. You know
well,
what I mean?
But like, he still got...
But he was WCW. Yeah, Piper, that's a good example.
Piper's a good one, yes.
People who are remembered as absolute legends of the business without ever having the big word. Sammy will be one of them. And yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. What about your thoughts, Max?
Yeah, I feel like if the main event wasn't as good as it was, this would have been just a night. Hands down. And how rare is it that we have a WrestleMania where the main event actually delivers and the match before it is not? We'll get to that in a sec, but I enjoyed it. Two kind of quick points. I don't know if Sammy was the right fit for Gunther. I what you said, Steve, just kind of resonated with me, that like you keep working and you get your reward, so that kind of makes a little bit more sense for me. But whenever I see these kind of big reigns happening, these big, like, long title reigns, I want someone who's never held the title before, like someone brand new kind of take that, like, defeat the drive. For me, I've always been such a fan of Gable.
Me too.
I know he's been put like the joke role and the comedy roles, but he is one hell of a wrestler.
Oh, he's
and
fantastic.
If he had been the one to like dethrone him, would he just like stratosphered him to upper mid card straight away? Or Shinsuke, or even Sheamus, who's never even held the IC title, would have been a kind of better choice than Sammy. Had it like four times at this point. So, and you were saying during the match as well, Jesse, that like, the comeback was way too quick. Mm-hmm. And like, if they dragged out that comeback at the end, it would have just hit a little bit better. But for me, even though I can appreciate that the match was good, it did fall a bit flat for me. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is insane. I was like, not for me personally.
Well, again, that's because we're so used to the high work rate of both of these guys, like Gunther and Sami Zayn, putting on these crazy matches over and over again, that maybe we were just held, we hold them to a higher regard, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, we're expecting more. Because I thought it was probably the second best match of the night. Like how you said, if this was the main event, I'd have no complaints either.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Okay, so how about this question? Since Sammy is that underdog, who is the best underdog wrestler? My top three I'll put out there would be, again, doesn't matter if they won world titles or not, but like their underdog story coming up. I'll put in Mick Foley, Daniel Bryan, and Sami Zayn. Those are my top three.
Daniel Bryan is definitely in there for me, 100%. I've probably put Rey Mysterio in there as well.
I like that one, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think Rey had a great underdog story. Who else would have been a sort of good underdog story? There must be loads, right?
Well, obviously, Kofi too is a good one.
Kofi's an excellent shout. That's a really, really good shout. They didn't do anything with it. Do you remember WrestleMania 31 when Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental title in that ladder match?
Yes.
And that was such a shock. And like, of all the people in that match, Zack Ryder wins it. And that, to me, had that cool feeling at the time, because like no one expected it, no one would have ever predicted it, and no one necessarily wanted it to begin with, but no one minded when it happened. They
exactly.
were like, ah, fair enough. No, he deserves that. You know, it was yeah, I liked that one a lot.
Can you think of anything, Max?
I feel like you also have to. What?
Can you think of any? Because I can't really think of any more than what we. Because they don't really do that many underdog stories anymore, if you think about it.
I was going to say, you kind of have to include Cody in this conversation now, right? You know?
Really, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him an underdog now, though. He hasn't been an underdog the last. He's won the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row. He's not been booked as an underdog. I don't think.
And we always knew he was going to eventually win the world title. Like, I'm saying, like, guys that you never thought they were going to give the strap to, right?
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, like, it's very easy now when we see him as this, but from dashing to Stardust.
Well, okay, those early days, maybe not.
Star Cody in New Japan, and, you know, like.
Well, even then, even when I started seeing him in New Japan and then AEW, I was like, nah, this guy's main eventer now. Like, he's no longer that underdog type of guy. Like, that's it.
Yeah, the last 2 years, like, we all thought he was going to win last WrestleMania, let alone this WrestleMania. Like, it doesn't feel underdoggy to me. It's been a great story of...
Yeah, it's a good story.
...a main event caliber wrestler, not an underdog story. Eddie Guerrero just popped in my head.
Oh, yeah, that's
another
good
one. When he beat Brock Lesnar at No Way Out, that was, like, unexpected at the time. That was a very underdog thing.
That's true.
Yeah, I think the big part of the underdog thing has to be the element of unexpectedness of them winning. Do you know what I mean? And,
true.
Yeah, Cody didn't give that to me, but everyone else we mentioned did.
There you go. Good point. All right. Main event of night one. We have the tag team, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes versus Rock and Roman. Yeah.
Yeah, thoughts? It was excellent. I mean...
Was it too long? So that was the one complaint I keep hearing.
No.
I agree, too.
I disagree.
Me, too.
With everyone saying it, like... If you're going to build a match, I did not notice that. I just looked. 44 minutes went by. Second longest main event in WrestleMania history.
Wow.
Didn't notice. Because they started slow. They did some outside work.
Yes, and then thank you.
Came back. Everyone took turns. Like, Rock had to go. Reigns had to go. Everyone filled in so nicely that by the time it was over, I was like, I could do another 15, 20. Like,
right.
Quite easily.
Yeah, it didn't feel too long to me at all either. I thought it was perfectly paced storytelling. It was fantastic.
No, it was great. Like, everything, the whole story, again, this whole bloodline thing and the whole Rock thing out of nowhere that just came and then they spun it and all that stuff. Like, it was great from top to bottom. And it's just crazy that we're saying that it was so great and they didn't have to rely on any legends coming out in night one. No celebrity matches in night one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, big entrances, there was, like, maybe one or two. Like, even though it was WrestleMania, it didn't really feel like
they
WrestleMania
really
for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they really taped out. Even judging by Cody's entrance pyro, night one was very stripped down. Even night two wasn't crazy, but yeah, it was a lot.
It was a little bit better.
And like, I would love to know who The Rock's been working with, because his 2014 run, he was like gassed up. He was like missing moves. He was forgetting stuff. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great. He didn't miss a beat.
Nights. Like, didn't miss a beat. Like, really went for it. Obviously, he's a little bit slower and not as smooth as he used to be. But, yeah, heel Rock, final boss Rock. Who knew he still had something in him to reinvent himself?
And it's so great. And this is what I'm going to love about this new era. And they already said it, because I think the documentary is either going to drop or has dropped as of this, of the whole leading up of how the whole Rock and everything got... Because obviously that wasn't the original plan and then they run with it. Imagine if it was still the McMahon era. I know I said his name. I'm sorry. I know you're not allowed to say it anymore either. But imagine during that era, this was to happen. He would not waver from the story. Like, you know what I mean? He wouldn't have pivoted. And you would have had this whole, again, what we kept saying, even when we used to talk at the beginning, when we wanted Reigns to turn and he just didn't want to do it for whatever reason. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, why not do what the audience wants? Look how well... I understand don't give everything, but when it makes sense, give it to the fucking audience.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And Triple H said, get it.
Yeah, he said in a presser, he was like, we will try something once and we'll see if it works. If it doesn't work, we'll just stop doing it. And that's so logical.
Right.
But so refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. Okay, a couple of things about this match, though. Did you guys think The Rock was going to turn during this match? On Roman.
No, not for a second.
No.
Even after the spear?
No, I thought he might on night two.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I thought they might save it. But yeah, not that first night. Because with the whole them winning with Bloodline rules and things, like, I thought, okay, maybe The Rock will come out and then betray Roman on the second night, but that didn't end up happening. But yeah, no, not on night one. That didn't cross my mind at all, to be honest.
Everything had to stay the same on night one. Like, no That's legend interferences, no Rock turning, just like Cody gets beat.
And he gets pinned by The Rock, which again, of this airing, Raw has already happened, and they're already setting up that, and it seems like already the rumors are showing that's going to be the main event of 41, The Rock versus Cody. So it looks like we're going to have at least a year run with Cody, unless he flips it with someone during the year, but it seems like we're going to have a nice, long, healthy run for Cody at this point.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And also, a thing about this main event, well, both main events, I fucking love that they were connected, that the result of night one meant something for night two. Whereas before, like you were saying, you know, in previous years, night one's been better than night two or whatever. And it's because we're just looking at match quality and nothing else. We're not looking at story or anything like that. We're just watching the matches. So if they happen to be better on night one, that's it. It's over now. Whereas the fact that we had a mini soap opera going on over the weekend, you know, was absolutely fucking genius. What a great idea to just have them connected.
It's true. And then it even
made that second match so much more. Like, when that second match, they went, now it's time for your main event, I was like, as you said, Jesse, feeling like a kid again, I was like, here we go. Like, this is real. This is happening. I am hyped.
And it was the right move, because you wanted no interference, because now anything and everything could happen. And again, we'll get to that. But again, speaking of interconnecting, let's head right into night two with the first match. Seth Rollins versus McIntyre with the story of his bad knee. Again, fantastic shit. Why not carry over stuff? Like, why not? Make it episodic.
Yep, it was perfect. And CM Punk delivering possibly the worst commentary performance I've ever heard in my life.
It seemed like he was bitter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was back to the old CM Punk. Like, the happy Punk that we were getting on TV all of a sudden disappeared. And it's like, oh, here's the old Punk of old.
Yeah, but he kept fluffing his lines. He called Drew McIntyre Irish instead of Scottish at one point.
Oh, maybe he just doesn't know.
said something. He's just a fuck. And like, but you know, sort of, you can't come out and be like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to drop a pipe bomb on commentary today, and then just like garble all your words. Do you know what I mean? It's like, fuck's sake. I thought the match was great.
It was. It was a great match too. One of the best.
I love heel Drew.
So good.
So much. Yeah. So
but this heel, great. Not, I don't, now he, they're going, if you watch Raw, they're reverting back to the badass Drew. And it's like, no, I want the heel where he's making fun of everyone, Drew. Not like, oh, I'm the Irish. Now I'm saying Irish. I'm the Scottish warrior. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, don't go back that far. Keep him at this where he is like that social media star, like that he's now touting to be. Like, that's great, Drew. I think this is the best work he's ever put out.
Yeah. No, I agree. Not a big Seth guy. Never have been a big Seth guy.
Really? I thought you would, because he's original NXT. And those were your days.
I liked him back then. I liked, so like I said about WrestleMania 31, like cashing in sort of authority heel Seth, I fucking loved. I loved that character. This whole sort of, oh, I just wear crazy clothes and laugh a lot. Like,
well, speaking of his entrance, that was,
Jose entrance, which was like just... I bet that will be interesting, though, because, like, you know, they show No Way Jose entrances, and they're like, oh, fuck me. There's, like, or even before that. Do you remember Adam, the South African guy, who used to come out with loads of people dancing as well?
Adam Rose! His rose petals!
Yes, but his rose, you look at his rose petals if you watch his old matches, it's like, fuck me, like Becky Lynch is in there and Alexa Bliss and like
Selena Vega was one too.
There you go. And I bet if we look at that Seth Rollins entrance, there'll be a whole bunch of people that will be stars in a couple of years and we'll be like, oh shit, like that was them, you know? That'll be quite interesting.
Well, let's see if you guys agree with me and the listeners, because again, I mentioned Resident Evil with the sponsor read. Does he not remind you of the final boss in Resident Evil 1 with that eye that just pops up in the shoulder?
Yeah, nice. I like that, yeah.
That's all I could think of. I'm like, holy fuck, this guy. He must have been playing Resident Evil and he got inspiration. And I don't know, what it was that a flower? Was that like a mangled ear? What was that on his shoulder?
It was a flower.
Oh, it was a flower.
It was absolutely a mangled ear.
Or was it an actual rosebud? Your type of rosebud, Jesse, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
That's for the listeners to Google.
Please don't Google that, listeners. PSA.
Oh, but again, it was a great match, top to bottom, start to finish. And again, even afterwards, we said it earlier, I was not expecting to cash it. When I hit it, I was like, that's right. I'm like, this is perfect. And then it goes on to the... Because now, yeah, he's angry at Priest for cashing in, but it was all CM Punk. So now they could still continue that feud and Priest could do his little thing on to the side for a while. And it's just great storytelling where you're intermingling stories.
Yeah.
No, you're trying out new people. And yeah. You're building stars.
Thank you. As it should be. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also...
And raising the new bloodline in doing that as well. Not the bloodline, sorry. Yes. Judgment Day.
The Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Like, Dom needs any rising. He's a goddamn star. But the most important thing about Triple H's new era is that when someone cashes in, a ref is running with them and isn't fucking confused by the concept of a cash-in. Yeah. Nothing drives me crazy. They're like,
what is this?
What do you want me to do?
He's like, well, are you paying me off? Is this something? What's in here?
Yeah, the refs are goddamn professionals, so they should be showed as such.
Well, not only the refs,
names back.
The ring, I was going to say, even the ring announcer, Samantha, fantastic. Oh my, she did her great fucking job the whole weekend.
Yeah, she was amazing. Yeah. And as you just said, Max, you pointed out when we were watching Night One together, the commentators are saying referees' names again. And then they're becoming, they used to do that back in the day. Yeah. Like we knew Earl Hebner, Brian Hebner.
Exactly.
Nick Patrick, Mike Yoda, Little Nate, Charles Robertson,
He's still there.
But they were just like, but they were kind of character because they'd be talked about back in the early 2000s, you know.
Exactly.
And even bringing in what I would like them to bring in more mini storylines, like Earl Hebner was known in the early 2000s as the only referee that wouldn't put up with Triple H's shit, right? Mm. Like you knew if Earl Hebner was refereeing a match, he wouldn't back down from Triple H, and that was like an extra dynamic of his matches. I fucking love shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why not give the referees characters and names and storylines? Like, look, one of the famous characters around the world from New Japan, your favorite, Red Shoes. Like, come on, who doesn't know about Red Shoes, right?
There you go. Red Shoes, the slowest fucking counter in the world.
But we love him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
One last thing about Drew is...
Please.
I like that they gave him some time for the cash-in.
Oh, because
he did...
Yeah. Yeah,
like he did the whole pandemic, no crowd, and the whole thing was like he wants to win it in front of a crowd. I'm so happy they gave him, and you can see how much it meant to him. And Seth said as well, like you can read his notes being like, "You fucking deserve this," and he just had that little 5 minutes, and I just thought that was a really cool little moment that happened.
Yeah, he still got he got his moment, like you say, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll probably get it again, but he just won't get it at WrestleMania. But he'll probably get like a nice lengthy, because I could see him easily being now the world champ now that it's off Rollins. And I just hope I don't mind like nice lengthy runs, but I don't like when multiple belts are doing these lengthy runs. Like, why not have everyone's compared to Attitude. Why not have like these monthly reigns or even like a week reign for some guys just so they can get their flowers too? And then we could start jacking up like, 5-time champ, 6-time champ, because we don't really get those anymore.
Yeah.
The next couple, now that we've ended like Gunther's big reign, we've ended Roman's big reign, should we have a couple of hot potato months now?
Why not?
Until SummerSlam.
I think so. Change it up a bit.
Yeah, product interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and then have another lengthy run, because then everyone's expecting, he's going to drop the title, and then it keeps going. And then when you least expect to drop it again. And then that's how you keep people on their toes. But again, I digress. Let's move on to the next match, my friends, that we enjoyed. Okay. It was the Women's Championship, Bayley versus Io. Two fantastic. I think these are like the two best female wrestlers. I know everyone puts Charlotte up there, but I don't know. Again, speaking of underdogs, Bayley, I think, is the greatest women's wrestler of all time, hands down. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, because she could go with anyone. That's what I find. Like, there is not... Go back and see if you could find a bad Bayley match.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And this felt like her getting her flowers, didn't it, in a big way as well? Because she's worked her tits off for years and years and years, yep, and always been the fourth horsewoman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, it's, well, not even now, even like the likes of Jade has surpassed her, like before now winning the title. Even what's named Bianca is ahead of her. Like, you know, they put all these people, and it's like, no, like she, like they ran it down. She's run every title. She was the first to do this, the first to. It's like, what else has this woman not have done? Like, you know what I mean? She's Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. The thing I liked about this match as well is they kind of slept on the build a little bit. Like, she was left off all of the posters. She wasn't in any of the promotional material. She was the Women's Royal Rumble winner, and she got, like,
no
promo, no storyline.
That's what I mean.
Like, it was very basic. And, yeah, I feel like that made her kind of rise to her challenge even more. She's like, look, this is what I do. And her and Io, Jesus Christ, that was awesome.
Yeah, Io's another one that just goes, that doesn't get her flower. Very underrated. Everyone, yeah, again, because I guess Asuka and Kairi always get the flowers first. But it's like, no, like, Io's just right up there. If not, like I said, probably two of the best. And the one thing I loved, as much as I love, again, she's good at her heel, she is babyface natural. Like, you know, as they say, the white-faced, what is it, baby white-faced meat?
White meat
baby-faced. There you go. Exactly. She fits that perfectly. And to hear the sing-along with the Bayley song again in the audience, fantastic. Who doesn't like
that? Yeah, that was nice. I liked it.
Right?
That, yeah.
So, you know, I can't wait to see what she does with this run now that she's officially back to being a face again.
Yeah, totally. And I remember back when she was like the hugger and all that, you know, way back when. And I loved it. I thought it was a cool gimmick. But I remember thinking,
it can't last forever.
This can't last long.
Yeah.
This can't last long. But what's she going to do? And she's
done it.
She's just... yeah, evolved herself and done a fucking cracking job changing with the times and remaining cool, you know?
Well, isn't that what makes someone the greatest of all time? Except for the likes of, I guess, John Cena, because he's never changed his gimmick once. It's like everyone changes and goes with the flow. Like, even Hogan did it. You went from your brother to fucking the Hollywood Hogan, right?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Now, on to the meat and butter. Or potato, meat and potato. I'm so
meat
off
and
today.
Potatoes. You know what it is? Meat and butter. Is that a thing, or did you just?
No, man. You know what it is? Okay, full disclosure. I haven't done a podcast in like 3 weeks because I banked a whole bunch. Because again, I was off on vacation and stuff, so it's been a while. I'm ring rusted like the Rock. So my main moves are good, but the little stuff I'm still slipping on.
You're 2014 Rock right now.
Again. Speaking of the Rock, we'll talk about him towards the end of the match. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Here it is. Finally, we get it. Is this the story? Obviously, we said it is. Is this the end? Do we get it? Imagine if they didn't pull the trigger and they still kept going. What do you think would be the fall? Do you think people would have just shitted on this whole WrestleMania if Reigns kept the title?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Everyone would have said it's the worst WrestleMania ever and completely disregarded and forgotten about every single other thing that happened.
Right?
Yeah. They wouldn't give it a fuck. Yeah, it would have been horrendous if they'd done that. I wouldn't even have been surprised if there was. I don't think there would have been riots or anything, but like there would have been very disgruntled, like irritable people in Philadelphia, and they're not like the happiest people at the best of times, Philly times.
And I think that's why this was the best WrestleMania. They knew they had to please these friggin' crazy fans.
Yeah. Yeah, but they fucking delivered, man.
They did.
Like this is in my top three WrestleMania main events of all time would be this match.
That's fair. I can agree too. Yeah, for sure. Just because of everything, it's.
I have had an urge today to rewatch it, and I never want to rewatch because WrestleMania is so exhausting. I never want to watch anything that quick again. But I was like, I can watch that again this evening.
And it's everything because it touches the nostalgia from pretty much almost all the eras of guys that could still go, because obviously you don't want to get someone from the 70s and 80s in there, right? But even the rumors were there. Well, is Hogan going to show up? Is Austin going to show up? Is this going to show up? Or whatever. But I think the people they chose was fantastic with Cena and Undertaker. When the Shield music hit for 1 second, are you like, did he do it? Did he fucking get Ambrose to come back?
Everyone in the arena.
Right?
It crosses your mind, doesn't it? It does cross your mind.
Because we had so much of Seth.
That's true.
Well, why would it be Seth? but it was just another great tactic. And also, like, I just want to kind of... This is like storyline wrestling now. We're in storyline wrestling.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why everyone's expecting Austin to show up. Like, Austin has had no interaction with Roman Reigns ever. Like, it was everyone from that's Roman's past.
But...
Yeah, that's true.
Or it could have been the connection with The Rock, right?
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. That's true. Like, it's just like, if he's not over it, get therapy, Steve. But, you know, Taker, Reigns, Jimmy and Jay had a better match in 30 seconds than they
right?
tried the whole of night one. Yeah. That spear off the stage was awesome.
Okay, before we continue, can we just touch on that, please? One of the worst brother matches ever of all time. Again,
yeah.
But high regards. Like, the other, maybe not the Hardys wasn't too great, but again, it wasn't the worst, but... Comparing to Owen and Brett, oh, yeah, this was like, oh, the shits, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Owen and Brett is a barometer, you know?
Yeah, you have two tag team wrestlers who have the same moveset.
I think that's why.
Super kicks and a splash from the top rope. Like, it was never going to work.
No, I don't think so. They got to get back together eventually. But anyways, that's for another time.
It was the same. We're talking about other brother matches. The Young Bucks have had a couple of one-on-one matches over the years. In, like, the G1 or like the best of the super juniors in Japan and things like that. They've never been great either. With the exception of the Hearts, brother matches don't seem to work.
We just had one here in Toronto. We had Edge against Christian. Those two brothers went at it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that worked. And also, that's a good point. At the very start of the video package for this, Matt and Nick Jackson, Kenny Omega, getting a mention by Michael Cole.
That's crazy.
That was a bit of a like, what the fuck?
So do you think... Nice. Well, you know what? I think end they will. They will do... Something is going to happen. Like, I'm not saying they're going to work. Like, I think it's going to be sort of like how they did with TNA. Like, bring in a guy just for one-off, so then storylines aren't interrupted and it doesn't look bad on the other organization. Because, again, it's hard. And I've had these conversations with people, too, where it's like, what side is going to win? Everyone always wants to win because their brand is superior. So how are you going to please both sides? And now, back then, when WWE wasn't as hot, I'd be like, yeah, I could see AEW getting a one-up. But now, WWE has to win everything, right, if they do a combined show. Like, it would only make sense.
I don't know. But it makes no sense for them not to work together to me. Like, the tribalism doesn't need to be there anymore. They're not going head-to-head on Monday nights, you know what I mean? It's not like they're fighting for ratings or whatever, because they're on at different times. And nowadays, wrestling fans can consume everything.
You know what they should do
anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It should be like soccer, your football, where they loan out a wrestler. So say AEW has nothing for this guy. Like, say Hobbs, loan him out to WWE for a year. Then WWE could do like a year long storyline, and then on his way out, like how they used to do in the territories.
Yeah, I like that. It's essentially what Jack Perry's doing in Japan now, right? Like,
there's a good point, yeah. Right now, yeah.
Like, yeah, just sort of...
If Triple H's era ends the tribalism of wrestling and we see more cross-promotions and more, like, people working together, like, all of it would be just perfect. Like,
yeah, I'd love that.
So nice to see. So nice. And maybe this is the first step, who knows?
I could see it happening. Triple H, this is the first time... WWE's been run by a fan. Do you know what I mean?
McMahon was a fan.
He always used to get indie guys, and like NXT was just built on independent wrestlers.
You're right.
NXT that we loved when it first started. It was just Triple H bringing in all these indie darlings.
Yeah,
100% see it happening.
Yeah, Triple H. Yeah, like, I know you just said McMahon was a fan as well. And I know what you mean, Steve, but he didn't follow anything.
No, because he wanted to create his own universe, hence the WWE universe, which I hope they drop soon, because apparently they're dropping like stuff like sports entertainment. Like, they're dropping a lot of the old monikers that went along with that old era. So hopefully they drop that universe, because I fucking always hated that. Like, the WWE universe. No, just say the fucking fans. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, no, Michael Cole, like, just quick shout to Michael Cole, that call at the end where he went, I love professional wrestling.
There you go.
It's one of my all-time favorite calls, like, up there with all of JR's calls, for sure.
The turnaround of Michael Cole in the last couple of years, when, because he's been given this more freedom and stuff.
Fantastic.
And it's like, oh my God, he's actually a fucking incredible commentator.
No, he is.
Because you remember, it wasn't that long ago when everyone was just constantly shitting on him and hated the fact that he was there. And he's incredible. He's great. He is one of the best commentators of all time, without a doubt, when he's given that
the closing monologue. Unbelievable. Yeah.
No, he's great.
Yeah, he's great.
In fact, actually, shout out to all the commentators, because, like, even Pat McAfee wasn't as in your face as he, like,
no,
he was,
you know, perfect. What? Funny. Didn't mind Pat McAfee at all through this wrestling.
I thought you were going to shit on him too.
I thought I was going to shit on him as well. And never thought I would say this. He did a good job through all of WrestleMania. Not great, but good.
There you go. All right, before we end this all.
We'll give flowers to Logan Paul.
Yeah, exactly. So before we end this all right. Again, throwing out, we have the book. Let's do some fantasy stuff. What do you want? Okay, how about this? The biggest ifs coming out of this. What do you want next for Gunther, for Roman Reigns? And yeah, those are pretty much the two biggest. What do you want for Gunther and Roman Reigns next? What do you want to see from all this now? The fallout, as they say.
I don't want to see Roman Reigns for a good few months.
I say even till SummerSlam. I think he should make his return at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, maybe even Survivor Series.
That's far.
Haven't gone for a while.
Okay. But then what happens with the bloodline? Does fucking Jimmy take over again and he's the backup quarterback and then he's the funny Jay trying to get everyone's handshake and everyone just throws him out?
I think the bloodline stops now. I think the I think everyone becomes singles performers for a little bit, in their own respective. I think Paul Heyman disappears along with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, of course he has to. Yes, for a few months.
I'd like to see Heyman come back with someone else, manage someone else. I don't know who. That could be interesting. If Punk did do his heel turn that we all desperately want him to do,
oh, he will.
Get in with Heyman would be great. Actually, that's a good shout. But but when Roman Reigns comes back, I don't know. I wouldn't want to see him in the title picture. Do you remember when Brock Lesnar lost the title at Mania 31 from the Seth Rollins cash-in and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
then he disappeared, right?
And then he had a feud with The Undertaker for a while, and it was really good. And the title wasn't involved. It was just good sort of main event caliber matches. Yeah, I'd like Roman Reigns to feud with someone like that. No titles involved for a bit. Just a big pride sort of feud, you know, for a few months. I think that would be good for him.
There you go. How about you, Max? For Gunther, lay it on me. What do you want to see Gunther do next? Go for a title run or same thing? Ooh. Disappear for a bit?
It's so tough when you have these big long reigns and also, right? Like, I feel like we spoke way too quickly about the main event. I'm just like, I could do a whole podcast on that main event. Like, I want to dissect every detail, but like, that's nerdy as shit.
If we can just quickly jump back to the main event, we didn't touch on.
Fucking nerds.
How funny was it when Seth Rollins, so the Shield music hits, you're like, oh fuck. Is Dean Ambrose going to come back as well? And then Seth runs in the ring, just immediately gets Superman punched and completely knocked out. It was just the
funniest. And you barely saw it because he just crumbled in the corner.
Yeah. So I've seen another angle of it now.
Okay.
And he did, and it's because he was selling the knee, right? And all of that. Oh. So he was struggling to get in the ring.
So he's crippled.
And it was taking ages to get in the ring because his knee hurt so much. And that gave Roman the heads. And he was like, oh, fuck. So he could see him in good time to take him out. If the camera angle was better, we would have seen that, and it's great storytelling. But it wasn't, so all we saw was him get in the ring after this big build-up, and then just poof, right. And then he's just down. It was funny as fuck.
Oh my god.
Who was your favorite legend appearance out of the three that showed up?
Oh, Undertaker. I was not expecting that. That's why. The surprise factor alone.
Undertaker was a shock.
Yeah, that's why.
Forgot it.
I don't think I was expecting, but were we expecting Cena, really? Like, that was a surprise to me as well. One criticism, actually, of the main event. Don't like that Cena FU'd Roman. Because everyone else that got involved didn't touch the two that were at Cody or Roman. So, and I thought that was important. It should be interferers sorting out interferers.
So how about this? I mean. Because they said Cena's going to do some more films like for the next year or so, and then he's coming back for one more run. What if that's the story they tell?
Him with Roman.
Right? Because now you don't need a title in that, and now it could tie up Roman for a while.
Yeah, and then he finally retires
to Roman at Mania 41.
They have some sort of retirement match. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Right? That'd be good. But sorry, sidetrack. And also, Samantha Irvin's emotional call when Cody was lovely. Like, Vince would have shit on her and got her, like, hand
literally. But that was so good, though. You want to feel that.
It was incredible. Like, it made the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, perfect. Sorry, Gunther. he needs to go up to the world title picture now. Like,
right? Doesn't he?
Cody's in his own kind of element now with who challenges him. You have to be like top level star to go after kind of Cody now, but you've got this beautiful world title that's going to become the working man's title. You've got a new champion in Damian, or Bondage Undertaker, as Steph called him on Raw.
Right.
And Gunther can go after that, and you can have some banger matches with like Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Gunther, and start bringing in these guys who are kind of ready to take that next step, but not go after the big W. Like, just make the world title that workhorse championship that builds stars. I would love to see that.
Yeah. I have to say that the world titles feel so important right now, which is lovely. Like, they feel really valued and not just a prop, which they have felt like in recent years, you know? And I like that. And so, to your point, Max, you know, if you have Gunther step up to that world title, and Damian Priest has it now, and Drew and Punk will be involved around that and stuff, it makes them important just because that title's there. It's great.
No.
That's what it should be. It sounds so obvious when you say it, but it hasn't been that way for a long time.
You know, Roman had a chokehold on that title. Like, it was just blowing my mind that he held that title for 3.5-4 years.
Almost.
Like, a pandemic happened. He defended that title against Edge and Daniel Bryan.
I know. Think about that. When they
said that on commentary, it was like, fuck, yeah.
I know. That's crazy to think of right there alone. Oh, my goodness. All right, guys, to end this all off, what do you rate WrestleMania out of 5?
I thought night 1 was going to be the banger night because of, like, each match looked like it stacked up. But for me, it kind of under-delivered except for the main event. So night 1, I'm going to give, like, 3 stars.
Okay.
Night 2 was incredible top to bottom. So it has to be 4.75.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's probably the highest rating I've given. It was pretty much damn near perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd maybe bump night 1 up to 3.5, but I'm with you on 4.75 for night 2, definitely.
And I'll go with my typical 4.276305. No, in all honesty, I'll go like a solid 4 for the whole, both nights combined. That would be mine.
Yeah, meet in the middle. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Because, again, like you said, Max, night 1 under-delivered a little bit, but it was still great if that was just the WrestleMania that we got, no problem. But night 2, it was just, again, it was the storytelling, the feelings, like just everything. Like how you said, Michael Cole saying, I love fucking professional, well, not fucking, but I love wrestling, right?
That's close. I will show that match to, like, anyone who ever's like, I don't get professional wrestling. That's my new match. I always have a benchmark match that I show people, and that's the new one. Nice.
There you go.
50-minute sit down and watch this.
You can't talk.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
What was I going to say? Oh, you said about I love fucking professional wrestling. Though. I know this is a very childish thing, but the fact that everyone's swearing a bit now and stuff like that.
I
can't help but like it. Yeah, exactly.
It's
I
good. Enjoy it. It adds that oomph.
Like, you know, people are like, you know, oh, who cares if they swear or not? And it's like, no, it's fun. You know.
Get on Netflix. Woo!
Oh yeah, that'll be great.
Right, we're gonna have bra and panty matches again.
Michael Cole on country. I fucking love professional wrestling. But it makes so much more sense. You're meant to be in this blood feud with this guy you hate so much, and you're like, I hate you, you bitch. And that's always like the big swear that they're allowed to use. And it's like, fuck, man, come on. And you got Rock being like, I'm going to make you fucking bleed in front of you.
Right?
You're like, yeah.
Thank you.
I believe. Exactly. I loved it in night 1 when he was threatening to fire that referee if he disqualified. He was like, I'm fucking fire you. Like, it was great.
That was great.
I love stuff like that.
Good shit. All right, you fucking assholes. Promote what you want to promote. Let's get out of here. The floor is all yours, guys.
Instagram at Jesse Benns, JesseBenns. That's where you see interesting stuff. The UK Blues Awards are at the end of the month. I play in a blues band. We're going to be there. We're up for a couple of awards. It's going to be televised and on YouTube and all that stuff. So please tune in. That's about it, really, I think.
And Max, are you still hiding from the police?
Hey guys, it's Max here. Just want to take a quick second. I don't want to make this all about myself, like my co-host Jesse here. I want you guys to support Steve's podcast. Click that link down below for some great sponsors. Code is there. It's down below. Click the code. Buy some stuff. God bless you, Steve.
Thank you. Makes my job easier now.
I fucking love professional wrestling.
There you go. Now at least I don't have to say extra stuff at the end. All I got to say is follow me on Instagram and X under Finga Styles. Follow the podcast on X, the podcast app. Email us your thoughts, suggestions, comments, anything you want to get off your chest at the podcast app at gmail.com. And Max pretty much mentioned it. It's down there in the link below. Click on all those fine stuff. Great sponsors. All that fun stuff. All right, guys. Last thing before we all go on our merry old ways. What was the best entrance of WrestleMania?
Sleeper entrance for me,
freaking Rollins.
Oh yeah, you liked the Adam Rose homage. Right.
I like colours.
All right.
It was sleeper one Rhea for Ripley. Me. I enjoyed Rhea Ripley. I enjoyed Bayley's with being carried out by the Muscle Men and all that.
That was good.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a nice role reverse. I like stuff like that because normally you get like. You know, back in the day, you'd get like Triple H with the hot women or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And it was nice to have a sort of role reversal of that. So I enjoyed Bayley's very much. An obvious one to say would be Cody Rhodes. I mean, that's the entrance of his life, right? It's nice that Brandy. I still want to call her Eden. That's how fucking old school and lame I am. But Brandy, nice to see her with him.
Yeah.
I thought the mask was cool. Just nice
like a dead Bart Simpson on his head.
Right?
It was a bit Bart Simpson. It was. Yeah. It was. Maybe that's what I liked about it. Yeah, I can dig that.
That's pretty cool. And just to piss off Jesse, my favorite entrance was Logan Paul's.
Disgusting. Prime Hydration Station, baby. Yeah. I'm too old to it. Did you know who that YouTuber was that was in the Prime?
Don't feel bad. Me neither.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Randy. Fucked him up.
He Jesus kicked him Christ. Hard, didn't he? He kicked him really hard.
And that RKO. Woo!
Fantastic.
I'm glad you didn't know who he was either then. I don't feel old on my own.
Nah, don't worry about it, my friend. On that note, he's Jesse. He's Max. I'm Steve. This is the podcast. Peace.
Ta-la.